we are going to come up every week with a formal ranking of these teams from the bottom up. Jeffrey, who's number seven?
Number seven, Jeff. We'll start with Arkansas State. Of course, this is all subject, or I should say this is all based upon a configuration of power rankings, Vegas's rankings, the S&P Plus, CBS Sports is 130. It's everything,
what,
and it looks at.
Here's what I would ask you. Okay. What has Arkansas State done wrong? They won their first game, and then they got beat by 50. They gave up 50
correct.
In losing to Alabama, which Louisville did too.
Correct.
So, like, who isn't going to give up 50 in losing to Alabama? What did Arkansas State do wrong to be ranked last here?
I think it simply boils down to if Arkansas State were playing each and every single team that's above them on
they'd
a neutral field, every other team would be favored. And I think Justice Hansen's a good player, but it's just it all boils down to
is
my
there anything
responsibility.
That Arkansas State can ever do to rank above any of these teams, given that they are Arkansas State? Are they a perpetual cellar dweller?
No, they absolutely. I mean, the line between Arkansas State and the next two. It's clear to me that Arkansas State is seventh, but the line, the gap between the next two is not that wide.
All right, who's number six in our power rankings? TAM's power rankings.
Number six in our power rankings is Tennessee.
Ooh.
When you look at it, it really boils.
It bounced back, man, at a big win last weekend.
Yes, of course. That's where we are as with Tennessee. They're all having to point
you're
towards.
Quibble. You're going to quibble with the opponent.
Well, when you have to point to beating East Tennessee State as their back, it just boils down to this.
You think they're really worse than Arkansas? This means you think they're worse than Arkansas.
Yes, because I think at least Arkansas can do one thing well, which is score. Tennessee can't score. Like, you watch them on offense, and they can't move the ball. Like, they even started slow against ETSU.
Here's the interesting question, though. Who's going to have more wins? They play in the East.
Correct. I think you have to say Tennessee now because Ole Miss is better than I thought.
Tennessee's going to have more wins than Arkansas.
And I think A&M's better than we thought. And I think LSU's better than we thought. Like, these were the kind of the toss-up games that I thought that Arkansas could maybe one of them. And I don't see them winning any of them
You're still putting Tennessee six.
Correct. If they played on a neutral field, I think Arkansas would be favored by somewhere between a point and a half to 3 points. So that, of course, brings us to Arkansas at number six. Arkansas, they offensively...
Obviously a bad loss last week.
A very bad loss. You go to Colorado State. That kind of falls into the category of why are you playing that game?
A little bit.
You know what I mean?
A team that was afraid to come to the Liberty Bowl, man.
Yeah.
Bailed out of its Liberty Bowl contract in the end and yet playing Colorado State.
But when you look at them offensively, Arkansas still putting up... roughly.
They're having some quarterback issues.
They're kind of rotating. They're still putting up 41 a game. They're allowing 27. I think Arkansas at least has something that you can point to that they do well. They do, I feel like, score. And I don't think Tennessee can score. And I don't think Tennessee's good enough defensively to where you sit there and go, okay, just because Arkansas
is a
slightly
better. Is it totally clear to you that Memphis on a neutral field would be favored over Tennessee and Arkansas?
Yes, it is at this point. Clear to me. At this juncture, yes.
Okay. Oh, well, like...
If they played next week, I think Memphis...
Memphis
it's
would
very
be favored on neutral field over Tennessee.
Yes.
And over Arkansas.
Correct.
Okay. That gets to number four.
Number four in our power rankings is indeed the Commodores of Vanderbilt. The Commodores thus far have been very, very consistent. They, of course, had the win over Middle Tennessee State. They looked very good in the second half against Nevada. Vanderbilt is the
2-0 football team, baby.
2-0 football team. To me, they are the classic example of they are very solid in what they do. I think, though,
don't you think they'd be favored over Memphis by two in a neutral field?
No, I don't.
No.
No, I think Memphis would still be favored.
Here's the other thing about Memphis. I do think, I'm not making excuses for them. I think the rain really hurt.
And there's no question.
And particularly with that offense, the way they run an offense, I think the rain really hurt them. I still think they have a chance to be a very good football team. The fact that Tony Pollard's been hurt is not good. I think the rain really hurt them. They came out.
I just tried not to overreact in a game where Memphis dominated the game for the most part, but they had four turnovers. I tried not to overreact to turnovers, especially when...
I think that's fair. I think Memphis is a better team than Vandy right now.
Especially when you consider that most of those turnovers were greatly influenced by the conditions. And I'm not saying that Navy didn't have to play in those conditions, but if I'm trying to come up with if these teams played in the dome next week and weather wasn't a factor, I still think Memphis would be favored.
All right, so far, Arkansas State's 7, Tennessee's at 6, Arkansas is at 5, Vandy is at 4, our top 3 in the TAMS, Jeffrey's TAMS power ranking, number 3.
I struggled with number 2 and number 3, but at the end, I gave the nod. Memphis will be number 3 in this, and here's why I think Memphis is number 3. While I do think Memphis is much improved defensively, I still don't think that you would consider that a lockdown defense. And when you look at, when you're comparing them to Ole Miss is elite offensively. They are garbage defensively, but you cannot deny that they're offensively.
What would be the over-under in that game?
Oh, God, you'd have to set it in the 90s.
I think Memphis has the better defense.
I agree with that.
Like from what I've seen so far, I think Memphis has the better defense. We don't know yet whether Memphis is elite offensively.
I agree with you that I think Memphis' defense is better, but I still think Ole Miss would be able to virtually score at will in them because I don't know what you do against Ole Miss. When DeMarcus Lodge is your third receiver, like I don't know who you're taking away. Like you can't really take away A.J. Brown. Scottie Phillips has been as every bit as good as he was advertised. I was very skeptical on him coming into the season running the football, but he has been fantastic. I mean, you look at him in the Texas Tech game, he had 90 yards after contact. That's a large representation of what he is. I think Ole Miss's offensive line is very, very good. If you look
Will Ole Miss look elite offensively against Alabama?
They're going to score. I don't know.
How many?
I think they'll get into the 20s. And not garbage 20s. Like, I think they'll be in the 20s.
The high 20s? 21, 29,
I could, 28? I would set the over-under for them at 24.5 for number of points.
In Alabama?
I would set the over-under at...
50? Will they score 50?
Oh, easy. Easy. I don't, if the over-under's in the 70s, take the over.
If the over-under is 69.5, you would take the over.
Not blink. Just hammer.
All right, so number 3 is Memphis. Number 2 is
indeed Ole Miss, and it boils down to when you look at them on paper, while they are, this is the worst Ole Miss defense I've ever seen. They don't do anything well.
Well, that's the thing. I think this Memphis defense could be pretty good, and I'm not giving up on them being elite offensively. I would like to. I will say this: I would like to watch that game.
I agree. It would be. That's the thing, though. I kind of want to see Memphis play all of these teams.
Would be an awesome game. Okay, and that means that
Mississippi State's number 1, and I don't really think there's much of a contest. So you look at them defensively; they are one of the 3 or 4 best defenses in the SEC. Offensively, they have a clear identity. Nick Fitzgerald, when he runs the ball, is really, really dangerous. Both backs right now for Mississippi State have been well above expectations. Like, to me, Mississippi State is a really solid football team that's going to win a lot of games.
All right, so there it is. Mississippi State 1, Ole Miss 2, Memphis 3, Vandy 4, Arkansas 5, Tennessee 6, and Arkansas State 7. You can register your quibbles.
If you're curious, there was only one metric that ranked Memphis ahead of Ole Miss, and that was the S&P Plus. Other metric. Essentially, it is a power ranking that takes everything from like explosive plays to strength of schedule, everything. It's an all-encompassing stat.
Okay. Last thing I want to ask you before we take a break is Hugh Freeze talked last night in Memphis. He was on with GP last week. What's the future of Hugh Freeze?
I think the future for Hugh Freeze is probably a Sun Belt-level job. And I think he's going to have to. I think he'll have an opportunity to go to somewhere like MTSU, and I think he will have the opportunity to kind of rewrite his story. And to me, what it's going to come down to is if he is successful there, if I were Jimmy, I would make sure that I'd get him off Twitter, because I really think that's going to be, if Hugh Freeze has goals of coaching at the Power 5 level again, I really think he's got to get off Twitter. And
what's his Twitter say right now? Go to his Twitter account. What's wrong with his Twitter account? All he's talking about is how Jesus has saved them, and today is make today better and open your heart to God. What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, look at his last five tweets right now. Why is he? I understand if he's saying, hey, if you have any evidence of cheating, come at me. Like, I understand that. What's wrong with tweeting Bible verses?
There's nothing inherently wrong to tweeting Bible verses, but when you're tweeting Bible verses, which in large general, it's part of shaping a narrative and shaping a way that you are perceived.
What are you, go to his Twitter account. Let's see. What do we got? What are the last five?
Coach Hugh Freeze on Twitter. Pulling up. Thank you. He's a great man. He was quote tweeting Hurricane Jenny. Had a great time and heard a great message at the Touchdown Club with Coach Freeze. His words about his dad were exactly what I needed to hear today. You are very kind. He was quote tweeting. Excited to be in Little Rock today at noon, Memphis tonight, and Montgomery tomorrow. Get to see some good people, be it great quarterback clubs. College football has great passion. And
he's out there talking to quarterback clubs, so he's tweeting about it. Okay, right. What else?
What a great reminder. Have a great day of worship. Quote tweeting Bob Goff. When I say I don't have time, what I really like is compassion. People's own watches. Love owns time. Here's the reason why. It's very much what you're saying. It's an advantage.
I got no problems with it. I have literally no problems with it. I would have problems if he cheated on either his bride or on or in recruiting, right?
Yes.
But if he's not, I actually kind of respect the fact that just because he has shown to not live the life that he tweets, that he is not aspiring to still live that life. I don't. He is not a guy to hide. Listen, it's not me. It's not my thing.
Right.
But he's not a guy to hide his faith under a bushel. And I think just because he's suffered personal and professional setbacks, where he's been exposed to the hypocrite on different levels, I don't think that's a reason to say, therefore, I'm going to stop talking about the things I believe in. I think the stuff, the in your face, don't come at me with my cheating. That was truly holier than thou. This is just, he's just trying to be a devout guy walking in the footsteps of his Lord and Savior.
Correct. But this is what it boils down to. At the end, he's a football coach. And at the end, the biggest reason why he ended up getting fired is because his public image.
He would have been fired for that, whether his public interest. If he would have been fired for hookers and cheating by the NCAA, whatever he was tweeting. It's why people delighted in his downfall was because his public image contrasted with what he was actually doing. But what he was actually doing, if he'd just been tweeting about football or just been off of Twitter, it would have still gotten him fired.
I don't know if it would have gotten fired that day.
You don't think cheating with cell phones and cheating with the NCAA gets you fired?
Well, that's the best part, because Ole Miss built the entire narrative. Ole Miss's entire defense was that Hugh Freeze ran a clean program. And I think this is what he's going to struggle with as he tries to move up in the world. He basically got in front of the NCAA committee, and Ole Miss had already laid it out that he did absolutely nothing wrong. So then he proceeded in the hearings to throw Ole Miss under the bus, the school under the bus, as well as his entire coaching staff.
And was largely absolved by the NCAA.
100%.
So you've got a situation where he's largely absolved by the NCAA.
Correct.
And where he's not absolved for his personal transgressions, and I do absolutely think he'll be hired again. I don't think that he will be hired, and I don't think he has to get off Twitter. I think if he's going to be on Twitter tweeting about godly things,
sure,
he has to live a godly life. I think that's true. But I honestly think the downfall for Hugh was what he did. The fact that people delighted in dancing on his grave, which people did, was because of the hypocrisy. That's why people reveled in it so much. I'm not sure that was responsible for the downfall. Here's the question. Do you think Memphis would hire him?
No.
To me, the answer is no.
No.
He wanted to get involved.
Yeah.
last time. Like he would want to get involved at every.
Yes.
He wants to, you do not believe he'll get a coordinator's job in the SEC?
No, I don't think that. I
think the SEC doesn't want him.
Yes, I think he's blackballed.
You think he's blackballed at the SEC? And so the route essentially is not unlike the route that he took on his way up the last time.
Exactly. And he's still young enough to where he can absolutely have chapter two.
Okay, now let me ask you this. As a football coach, just put everything else
sure,
aside.
Sure, as a football coach.
How do you judge him? Because I would say, I think right now people look at the mess that was left in the program
mm-hmm.
and they say, oh, man, he was overrated as a football coach. Having said that, he brought Ole Miss to heights that they have not seen in a long, long, long time. So you can look at the ending if you want, or you can look at the beginning if you want, and you can say that the ending was shaped by the NCAA investigation. And but for that, he would have kept rolling, that he's a hell of a football coach.
Yeah, I mean, you can say that, but the truth is you look at, to me, there was a weird moment where Hugh initially started recruiting based on, quote, size and speed ratios. And you kept hearing him talk about that consistently. And that was what he was recruiting on. And then he had this weird moment where he decided that he was going to recruit a different kind of kid. And essentially what he was, it's still to this day, I don't really quite know what it meant. I think he meant he wanted kids from religious backgrounds. It was a very weird.
I don't know. I look at that offense, and I think he's recruited on pretty talented dudes.
Correct. And then the flip side of it, though, is like much of his life, I think he got involved in celebrity too much. And I think when it came to recruiting, he got way too wrapped up in star ratings and whether or not, I don't know if it's team ratings or whatnot. But so he started neglecting positions of need in order to go get another four-star receiver. Like he could have had Jannard Avery. He could have had Daryl Henderson, guys that would have for sure helped his teams.
Do you think at an MTSU,
yes,
he'll win?
Yes, I do. Yeah. I think he will.
Because and if he wins at an MTSU, do you believe he'll get a chance at not necessarily the SEC, but any Power 5 conference team? Think he would be head coach of a Power 5 conference team?
Yes, I think he'll get. I think Hugh Freeze is going to have. I think he's going to have another
chance. If you're not in the SEC, the only other, like, he's not going to be a Big Ten coach, right?
Agreed.
So, and I don't think he's going to be a Pac-12 coach, maybe. Maybe. Fly out there. So, basically, it's the ACC.
Correct.
It's where? Where's he coaching? Wake?
I don't think, like,
Wake wouldn't take him.
I don't think North Carolina would be a bad fit.
I don't think they'd take him.
I'm saying I think in 5 years.
In 5 years they could take him.
Correct. No one's taking him this year.
Laundered, cleaned up,
correct.
Having won somewhere else.
Correct.
A North Carolina
rehab.
Type of.
Yes.
could take him.
Yes.
Interesting.